For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another show to the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. A lot going on in the NFL draft world, NBA obviously in full swing, baseball has started, and the transfer portal is getting crazy in college hoops, so buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go, 3, 2, 1... We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball in the right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game!
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch your free throws, because they're free. Sode 325 coming hotter at you guys in Sode 324. And I'm joined on this one by Alex Toss, Me the Rock, and Nikki Snacks Kreider. And sports. Sports, sports, sports. Full swing of sports, man.
Sports are fun.
We just closed out what was the best month in sports, and now we're headed into spring and summer, almost the ease of sports. NFL draft on the horizon, one of my favorite things. NBA season is almost done and into the postseason, which is super exciting. And then, as we mentioned at the top, the transfer portal, super hot right now. So a lot to discuss. But before we discuss any of that stuff, we got to talk betting, because people are making bets. The betting never stops. And where are you guys betting?
At betonline.ag. Nick actually just put in a parlay today with the Mavs involved. I'm really happy you got the Mavs involved on that.
I'm happy too. I think they're gonna get it done.
Well, yeah. The listeners will know the fate of the bet. What was the full bet that you put down at betonline.ag?
At betonline.ag, I put down a parlay and it included the Mavs
playing the Grizzlies.
Playing against the Grizzlies, the Dodgers playing against the Rockies. It hurts my heart to bet on the Dodgers, but they're fucking good. So I guess you got to ride the hot hand. And the last team is the Wizards.
Nice.
Wow.
Wizards are hot right now, gunning for...
Playing against the Kings.
To get into that play-in game, the Bulls are stinking it up. I feel like it's achievable. It could happen. And I want it to happen. Everyone wants to see Russ and Beal in the playoffs.
Everyone's rooting for the Bulls to implode, I feel. Everyone is kind of pissed about their Vooch trade, and they're rooting for the Bulls to now fail and lose LaVine.
I think it's kind of...
I feel like it's been a sentiment of people I've spoken to.
Also, it's just people want Russ to... You know, he's playing incredibly this year. Yeah. They want him to make the playoffs. It's better. In that play-in game, like, would it be cool to see Zach LaVine score 50? Yes, but would it be cool to see Russell Westbrook go for 23, 15, and 20? Yeah, it'd be awesome. And Beal could score 50 too.
Well, the potential you all of a sudden have is, look, let's say the Nets lock up that number one seed, right? And then the Wizards are in that play-in game. And then you get a Russ versus KD and Harden first-round matchup.
That's great.
That'd be fun.
Which would be sweet.
which you'd be able to bet on at betonline.ag. So go there today. You'll get a, I think you get a welcome bonus of some sort.
They give you something. You're going to get something. You're not walking away empty-handed. Show them what we got, boys.
24/7 online casino. That's what we got. Wow. Love betonline.ag.
Nick, you were on the casino recently, or am I imagining that?
You imagine that?
Oh, you've listened to my advice. Stayed away.
Can't trust the casino.
No, not at betonline.ag, but you could trust all the other things they have.
One of the things you can bet on, futures for the NFL.
Yeah.
Which things are getting interesting because we've got the draft coming up. We've got some free agents who are falling into play. Some guys, you know, already been signed. What was it? We just had
Jadeveon Clowney signed with the Browns.
That's right. Yeah. Your boy, your former
Jadeveon
boy.
Brownie.
Nice. Wow, Nick, like look at that. Good for you, man. That was awesome.
That's a good fantasy name, so store that one in your pocket.
You have the Browns defense. I would never have thought that the Browns defense would be like a viable option in fantasy, but here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah, some people are coming out saying that they're a dark horse contender just with that defense all across the board. Baker's a good game manager. Obviously, they run the ball incredibly.
You get Odell back.
Yep.
That's like an
good weapons
factor.
On the outside.
They're a good team, and they've got a good coach, I think.
Stefanski's great.
Tough division.
Is great. It's a tough division, but, I mean, they were competitive last year, and another year of seasoning for Baker, a full, healthy weaponry for him in Jarvis and Odell, of course, and then you got Chubb and Kareem Hunt. So, I mean, I think it's a pretty interesting situation they got going on there, but if that defense holds up, then they're scary.
Yeah, and I think the potential for the defense to hold up, obviously, you know, Denzel Ward's there another season. He's the number one corner over there. You have Clowney across from, like, Myles Garrett. Like, if Clowney's at full tilt.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's great. Like, you have to take Garrett into account so heavily that Clowney could honestly have, like, an open field day just across from him. And now you could kind of bolster the rest of that defense up in the draft because a lot of the offensive line needs have been met already. They have, like, multiple tight ends on the roster. Again, the running back duo. I have more confidence in them and Baker taking the necessary steps he needs for the Browns to get there versus like a Lamar in that division and versus like Big Ben. I mean, at this point, Big Ben is Big Ben. And, you know, you got to pray that they don't have that offensive collapse they did last year. Obviously, the defense lost a lot of guys to injury, you know, throughout the season and late. But, you know, that cupcake schedule kind of, you know, the pumpkin came back and the carriage was gone. And the Steelers, you know, were not good at the end of last season.
But
and
they have a great defense.
They have a great defense.
And love a good old Halloween metaphor.
It was a Cinderella metaphor. You got a Disney metaphor there, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fairy Godmother Josh. Fantastic.
You could be a Prince Charming in like a live action.
I would dig it.
Yeah, I know you would. You should probably rewatch the film though, so you get the references when you have to when it comes time.
When it comes time.
We'll have a movie night together.
Honestly, I don't think I've ever seen Cinderella all the way through.
Really?
Yeah.
Cinderella's it's an old one.
Yeah, it's old.
Are there any Disney movies out there that you guys haven't seen like that are typical, like, oh, like, you know, everyone's seen that.
I'm pretty sure I haven't seen Snow White all the way through.
That's a dumb question.
No, we're over here for you, maybe, but for over here, this guy's watching three-fourths of movies.
I'm looking
here.
Through my own lens.
Rolodex. Yeah. Sorry to offend you.
So you've seen
you
every single like cult classic Disney movie that there is out there.
Name every single one.
I'm saying you've seen them all.
Yeah. I think. I mean,
I don't think I've seen Fox and the Hound.
Seen it.
Didn't even know that was a movie.
Yeah.
It's a great one.
There you go.
Yeah, see, I mean, I feel like maybe you could sneak one that's lesser known past me, but all the big hitters.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Tarantino, Christopher Nolan, Scorsese guy.
Start them young.
Yeah. It's not like I'm watching Disney movies every night.
Nick is.
This is when I was six, which I wasn't watching Tarantino back then.
You know how old I was when I watched Full Metal Jacket?
Well, that's an intense.
I was 3 years old.
That's intense.
Really? I watched Gladiator when I was.
Thanks, Dad.
I watched Gladiator when I was five.
That's the son of young parents.
Like, Gladiator's like crazy, but it's like that's Full Metal Jacket.
I was five.
Full Metal Jacket is nuts.
Yeah, neither Nick nor I should have been watching those movies.
That is a heavy.
Then or even 10 years later, probably.
That is pretty. That is a wild stat.
Full Metal Jacket is definitely one of the most like graphic like adult movies there is out there. It's a Kubrick movie, so it's. You know, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the first half of that movie is pretty bonkers.
Yeah.
It's like two movies in one, I felt like, when I watched it.
I think I watched, this movie's like not on the same level as that, but I watched Mission Impossible 2 when I was also five, like a back-to-back feature, Gladiator, Mission Impossible 2. And in that movie, they like face swap. They like take off their face, and I that like freaked me out.
Game of Thrones did it.
Yeah, exactly. Arya Stark. Yeah. Shout out to her family.
Nick, we should. I'm feeling like a new nickname coming for you. It's Nikki 7 out of 10 Crider. You've 7 out of 10 impressions. You've seen 7/10 of every Disney movie, it seems.
I wouldn't go that far. I've not seen 70% of Fox and the Hound.
Yeah, that makes
or
it,
Snow White.
That's what it makes it sound like. Is that he only stays for 70% of the movie, then he bounces.
I'm like, yeah.
Well, he gets what's going on.
I think I know what's happening in this movie. I'm going to bounce.
He's good at reading the situation.
I'm going to go fill up on some popcorn.
Speaking of reading a situation, we did just bring up Game of Thrones. The winter is coming. We all had different takes on this. There was a winter is coming tweet by the Game of Thrones crew on Twitter. And many people are speculating that now they'll be redoing season 8, especially after
the
Snyder.
They're not going to do that.
There's no way that happens.
Well, the Snyder cut. They let him redo it.
That's completely different, though.
Yeah, it's way different.
The Snyder cut was the studio saying, Zack Snyder, we don't want to show the movie that you made. We're going to show this other version of it. And they came in and they shot these other scenes.
Yeah.
And Zack Snyder had put together, he also had a family tragedy, which was part of the reason why they moved things over. But the Benioff and Weiss finished the season.
Yeah, they're
they
too
were the
prideful.
Creators. They did it. They finished it. They just
yank them. Teddy Bridgewater out of town.
Not happening. I'm sorry. Not happening.
You know how much money they sunk into that last season?
Let's start a GoFundMe.
Also, there's no way you're able to get that entire cast back, too.
Yeah.
Those people are all committed to other projects. It would be so much fun.
They blew it, but the rest of it is so amazing. It still holds just a cherished place in my heart. Will. I want to see these spinoff shows come to life.
Well, so I think that's the more realistic, speculatory option. But I think the real reason why they tweeted that out was because this is the 10-year anniversary from episode 1.
Right. Get people back to HBO Max watching the show.
Exactly.
Lame.
Is
it? Stinks. No, it's not.
It's lame until you turn on E1, S1, and you're like, oh, I'm in.
Are you going to? You were like the OG.
I watched the day it came
out. That is something you've been proud about, and I'm proud about it for
you. The day it came out. And I guess I had the HBO subscription upstairs in my room as a, I guess, 16-year-old, right? Is that
who knows? In your household, anything's
10 years
flawless.
Ago.
Okay.
Was
you
it
probably,
10 years ago though?
You probably had the HBO subscription.
It feels
at age
like
six.
It was longer, honestly. I have to look up when this actually came out because
season 4 we were in college.
That was a weird,
it came out
that was a weird
okay. The first episode, the first episode date was actually April 17th, 2011. So 10 years ago on the 17th.
So you were 16.
I was 16.
Great.
We were all 16.
Yeah.
Toss was 15. I think sophomore in high school. Still a little virgin, Nick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Small tidbit there for the listeners. Nice.
And then I saw Jamie and his sister get it on. I was like, damn, I need to go out and do that kind of stuff.
Like, I don't have
my
a sister. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So anyway, I brought up the Panthers weirdly in there at some point. And many people are
House Panther.
House Panther.
Forget
Darnold Baratheon.
Before you get into Darnold Baratheon, Nick, Melvin Ingram is a free agent.
He is.
Where is he gonna go? Where do you want him to go? You don't care?
I don't want him to be on the Chargers.
Wow. Yeah. Would Nick, your team kick rocks on Ingram already like that?
You like Melvin Ingram.
I liked him, but I think that he was a waste of cap space.
Okay.
And I also think that he couldn't
stay
on the field.
Yeah, that is true.
And when he was on the field, he was kind of a non-factor, like as of recently.
A lot of guys still remaining to be signed who are kind of older veterans who can come in.
There's a ton of them.
And make an impact, but not necessarily. It's just a bang for your buck situation. You want to make sure you're not overpaying any of these guys, right? Like guys like Justin Houston, Melvin Ingram, Fisher, right? KJ Wright. Like, that guy can hop onto a roster and be really, really
most of the guys helpful. That are available are over the age of 30.
Yep.
Antonio Brown. 33, 32. You got Mitchell Schwartz. You got Richard Sherman. You got Eric Fisher. You got Justin Houston. All those guys are over the age of 30. And in the NFL's eyes, it's kind of over the hill. But somebody's going to get a good deal for some of these veterans. And I think Antonio Brown's got a lot left in the tank still.
Oh, yeah.
I think Mitchell Schwartz does as well.
Yeah.
I don't think Melvin Ingram does. I don't think Justin Houston does. But I do think KJ Wright does. I agree with you there. Richard Sherman, I think he's kind of washed up as well.
Yeah, he's going to get a shot.
He's going to get a shot, and I think he's going to bring some into a locker room, but he's not going to be your shutdown corner. You don't want him being, you know, cornerback number one out there.
Yeah.
Lining up against wide receiver number one.
Yeah, he'll be a rotational piece. But you have guys like Geno Atkins and Jarrell Casey, like a couple years ago, they were big, you know, big studs in the defensive line.
A guy like DaQuan Jones, too.
Yeah, you got
in the middle that a lot of teams need. Mm-hmm. It's a very specific position, obviously.
Yeah, Kerrigan, Olivier Vernon, Alden Smith met with Seattle, which is...
Alden Smith was a great pickup.
Yeah, is he officially there, though? Or he's got... I think he's like... They're talking to him.
Well, I'm saying he had a good year last year.
Yeah.
He did.
Which is crazy.
He made himself some money.
He like barely played football and then just came back.
Barely has his hand.
Did you mention Cordarrelle Patterson?
He's going to the... He thinks going to the Falcons.
Well, I'm thinking of the wrong guy. I'm thinking of JPP.
Cordarrelle Patterson...
Who also does, yeah.
Is... He's like, what is he? What does he do?
What does
really?
He play?
I don't know.
What does he really do for an NFL roster?
I feel like he'd make
there's
a,
so much.
He
so
would
much
make
like
a better rugby player than he would NFL player. I think
that's an interesting take.
I think he's just like a really athletic dude. But I think at this point
he would
like,
dominate rugby.
At he's this a point, good returner. Like it's a good
rugby.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you need a well returning in the NFL is very different now.
Well, the kick return has kind of been obsolete.
Yeah,
made
right.
obsolete. Well, like a punt return guy, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm grasping at straws. I'm trying to stick up for CP, but it's like not working.
No, it's like, yeah, he's a running back, wide receiver, this flex position, right? Like he literally is the flex position.
Yeah.
He does it all, but like what does he really do?
Yeah, yeah, I'm not against it.
Were
I
we ever thrilled that the Bears were running him 12 times a game?
It was absolutely out of control. I mean, the Falcons are like new
but
head coach Arthur Smith.
Exactly.
Shout out to his family.
Now there's a good offense that gets a hold of this guy. There's a good offense that gets a hold of this guy, and now I have to play the game where I'm looking at the waiver wire in week 7, and I have two receivers here, and I'm like, should I play Cordarrelle Patterson? And one day, maybe it's not me, maybe it's you who's listening to this. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it because you'll get burned. Don't
yeah.
do it.
That is very factual. I love how like one of our other buddies, this Nick, I don't know if Toss told you this, in Toss's home league. I mean, you know, everyone knows T-Mac. You know, if you've been listening to the show for
Bolognese,
a long time.
Butter noodles.
Yeah, the pasta boy T-Mac. Yeah. And I gave
shout
him
to his family.
Yeah, shout out to his family. I gave him another nickname last week, and he didn't like it. I love doing that to him. He's the claimed in the league. We're in every league. He's always in, like, the waiver wire king.
Waiver wire rat.
Waiver wire rat. But Toss, in your league with him.
I average more moves on the waiver wire than he does per season.
There you go.
By like 0.4 or something like that.
Love to see that.
Yeah.
Love to see
that. He was pretty gutted by it.
Yeah, wow. I'm sure he's like that. You know what? You have a problem in fantasy when you're hanging your hat. I'm like, that's like one of my other friends always bragging. Like, I'm the waiver wire king. Like, dude, you don't have a ring.
But we've been going for a long time, and like those things matter. And Tommy and I both have rings, so like they matter even more.
Yeah, okay. It's like one of my buddies, like, I kill the waiver wire. I'm like, dude, you don't have a ring.
So you suck at the draft.
Yeah, exactly. Stink, Nick. There you go. That's a good way to look at it. Speaking of draft, Darnold Baratheon. Fields had a second pro day, which you love to see. A lot of teams in attendance. Niners, number 3 pick. The Jets, who hold the number 2 pick. The Lions were there. The Broncos were there. The Patriots were there. The Falcons were also there. A lot of teams in attendance to see Justin Fields. Looked great. The clips we saw on Twitter, Espen, all the good spots. You're the Jets. The Lions have not moved on betonline.ag or anywhere. Wilson, I saw on the McAfee show, and then I did another little research. Line hasn't moved. He's still like minus like 3,000 or something like that, or minus 300. Maybe I'm missing a zero to go number 2 overall to the Jets.
3,000 is a lot.
It's probably 300. I said 3,000. I'm like, that's insanity. So it's probably minus 300 to go to the Jets. I still think if the Jets are at his pro day, there has to be some small window that Fields is an option there. I know everyone's been locked in on Zach Wilson at number 2.
I just think that everyone's got to do their due diligence. Very, at the end of the day, they're not going to. They're going to go out there and send out somebody, you know?
Yeah.
They're not going to be absent at the party.
Right.
Whole Niners team's there.
They want to fill it out, right? Like, there's a banger happening in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. You want to send one of your boys out there to scope it out.
That's why.
Make sure that it's fun, that there's talented people out
what's
there.
What's the metaphor, though, is that your boy that you're sending, like, you guys already know that you have another party that you're
going
to go to?
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay. Exactly. Like, we got this one thing going, but like, hey, like, you know, just check it out, see how it is. Maybe we'll pop by later, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's like, so you send the scout out.
Yeah.
Where like Nick, who's like the general manager of our party team out in Los Angeles, is like, hey, you do this, you do that.
Right.
Keep
my
phone open.
I'm not buying that though. Not the metaphor.
Okay.
The Jets are picking Zach Wilson.
Okay.
But you still have to do your due diligence.
You have to do your due diligence, as do the 49ers, who is it not crazy to take him there? I think it's pretty, if they don't move Jimmy G, it's a pretty weird move to take him, to give up all that capital when they are claiming to be a win now roster. Like, how can you do that? How
I think Fields is, I think obviously, quote unquote, you know, people are saying Mac Jones is the win now guy and Lance is not. And then Wilson and Lawrence are gone. So you have to pick these three guys.
Right. But I'm just saying from the 49ers perspective, if you're keeping Jimmy Garoppolo,
yeah,
right, why are you wasting, you're replacing him. Jimmy Garoppolo is not old.
Yeah.
So you're,
yeah, but
you're,
he sucks.
Does he? He's like 30 and 10. I don't think record is really.
I don't think it has anything to do with his quarterback play, though.
I don't think he sucks. I just think he can't stay healthy, which is a major issue. And they moved up. They're going to take a QB at three. I don't think it's egregious to take Field. I think almost.
No. I support that. Yeah, I support that decision. I support the Lance decision. I think the Mac Jones feels weird because if you're going for Mac Jones, it feels like you want Mac Jones to be your starting quarterback.
Tomorrow.
Maybe not the first week of the season, but at some point in this first year.
Mac Jones,
he fits the style, right? That Shanahan likes in an offense.
Quick style. I just don't know. Like, to me, it's like a Goff thing. Like, Goff is good, but Goff is never going to be great and never going to be the best just because his style of play and the non-mobile quarterback, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like Fields can move. Like, Lance can move.
I mean, he can do more than move. He's a freak athlete.
All these guys can move.
Yeah.
Every guy in this draft can move.
Mac Jones really can't move like these other guys, though.
Okay, but he can move better than Jimmy Garoppolo and other guys in the NFL.
Comparison to other guy, like, not nearly as well as, like, Herbert can or Burrow could.
He's not terrible at moving. But I'm saying, for the most part, guys have added that element to their game because they know it's crucial.
Yes. He's good on the rollout. I just, the thing I'm weary about is Mac Jones. And the thing that I'm guessing weary about of Zach Wilson. And I hate, you know, everyone knows I like Ohio State, but I have watched Fields closely, and I know, A, Fields is a winner. B, he's very good in multi facets of the game, running, obviously throwing. He can hit every level of the field. And he's got the experience, major experience. Zach Wilson has played, like, one full real season, like, one slated season as the guy at BYU with weak-ass competition. Mac Jones has been the starter for one real full season. And don't get it twisted. That team was unbelievable, and he absolutely crushed it and took care of the ball completely well, and his completion percentage was literally historic. But he's behind the best offensive line with the best weapons. He's got two guys, two wide receivers are going in, like, the top 10. When the hell was the last time that happened?
I'd like to pose a question to you as a Patriots fan.
Please.
Okay. These are two scenarios here, right? Yeah. Jacksonville takes Trevor Lawrence.
Yep.
The Jets take Zach Wilson. The Niners take Justin Fields.
Mm.
If the Falcons come calling and say, do you want to trade up for this four pick, are you doing it to take Mac Jones?
I've said, and I stand by this, if the Patriots take Mac Jones at 15, I'm cool with it, but that's where I stand.
Okay. Now, if Mac Jones goes 3 and Fields is available, the same call happens, would you like to take the 4 pick for Justin Fields?
I'll listen a little harder because Cam's not the guy. You're not winning with Cam at the helm. Fact. I think they could compete now based on, like, the moves they made this offseason, and they were a lot of them, based on the roster they're getting back of guys who sat out, and they were a lot of them. It's going to be a boatload to give up. Like, yeah. It's a boatload.
I don't think that even if the call comes, you guys won't do it.
I don't think you have to take it. I think the point where you really – it's a really great question, but I think the point where you have to take the call starts at House Baratheon with the Panthers. Because, look, once the Falcons – if no one takes the Falcons' call, the Falcons have to sit there and make that pick, which are they really going to complain because they could keep beefing up the offensive line. They could take Parsons. They could take Surtain. They could take one of these defensive guys. Or they can really go, you know what, screw it. We have Julio Jones. We have Calvin Ridley. Let's airtight it. Let's get Kyle Pitts out there.
There's just throw the no football. Guarantee that all those quarterbacks are there at pick 8 with the Panthers.
There is no guarantee.
So
I mean,
that's
the Lions
what I'm
are
saying.
A wild card.
I don't think that Mac Jones is going to be there at 15. I don't think that – any of these guys would be there at 15. Maybe Lance. We don't know.
You're going to have to move up.
I don't think, yeah.
If the Patriots want a quarterback, they have to move up.
Yes.
Which, to me, makes me,
the second round.
Makes me feel like they're not going to move
for
up.
For Kellamond or something.
That's what I'm thinking, too. Or Mills, the kid out of Stanford.
Yeah.
Or, like, maybe, like I don't know if the Saints are going to take Trask. He's going to be there, too. I'm not loving it, but, like, hey, run the flyer in the you know in round two, and you're sitting there at 15. Everyone's moved up for a quarterback. Five quarterbacks have gone. The receivers have gone, and all these other talented guys are there, like on the line. You may be able to get, like, a Rashawn Slater who can play multiple positions in the line if he falls to you fairly. A cornerback
is
Darnold Baratheon.
Yeah.
As you've so dubbed him.
Thank you.
Is it impossible? Here's a question. Is it impossible that the Panthers is it impossible they take a quarterback?
That's nuts.
I think it's nuts if they do as well. I think they got to see this one out.
I don't think it's impossible.
I think if Fields falls to them at the 8, that he's a really good fit for them.
They got them. Well, look, then that means that quarterback room is Teddy Bridgewater, Darnold Baratheon.
Sure. Teddy Bridgewater. Fields? He's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone for sure, 100%.
Yeah, he's gone.
Well,
where's he going?
If you draft Justin Fields, you can trade him to someone will take Teddy Bridgewater just to be the backup.
That's a lot. I don't know. I don't think it's happening. I think that they made this trade for Darnold because they're really going to see it through.
I don't think it's impossible. I think they should see this through. I think if they're sitting there at 8, they're in a good prime position, similar to how the Cardinals were last year, where they could take the best player available. And the Cardinals go, okay, let's see what we got with Isaiah Simmons, because if he peaks out, then he's going to be a Swiss Army knife on defense that can play multiple positions. The Panthers went balls deep on defense last year. They literally made every pick on the defensive side of the football. It was I can't remember the last time I saw something like that. They should beef up the offensive line, but not reach for offensive linemen. If you're sitting there, yeah, Robbie Anderson's really good, and yeah, DJ Moore is really good, but like, let's keep stocking to it. I don't think Pitts is going to fall. I think Pitts is going to go in the top 4 through 6. I think Chase is going to go too. I think he'll go to the Dolphins or the Lions. Why not take Jalen or Devonta, whichever one you like better?
I think the Bengals are going to pick Chase.
I think he's putting the pressure on them to do it.
I think the Falcons are going to take Pitts, and if they don't, I think the Falcons are going to take Pitts, and the Bengals are going to take Chase. I just read 2 hours ago, Sports Illustrated, who knows what this means at all, but
there's still a thing.
That Carolina, yeah, it is. Buzz Beamer on the back, exactly, Nick. That Carolina is open to picking a quarterback at 8.
Who knows, though? Who's saying that?
I don't think it's
Albert Breer.
Albert Breer, he's credible.
And Scott Fitterer has stockpiled quarterbacks before, so it's not that crazy. And if Fields is your guy, and you knew that San Francisco wanted to go up to get Jones, and you knew that you could get something back, obviously, and still get another guy. I mean, what they want is they need a long-term solution. And Darnold,
we all like him.
But if he's not the guy, you build an insurance policy with maybe another guy who can compete with him.
Yeah.
I think they're in a great position. I think that there's a lot that they can do with that pick.
Do you think the Dolphins want to trade back again?
What is going on? They're playing Madden. Like, straight up, they're playing Madden out here with their boys. But I think it's possible if someone comes. Look, if
the quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and then Fields and Lance are still there, or Jones is one of those,
they might
two
as well.
Of those guys, why not trade back?
Yeah, listen to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to the Broncos, to Washington.
Let the Patriots jump up and throw you some picks. If you get two more first rounders or whatever, a first rounder and a second.
Washington wants to play. They want to get that in the mix as well.
We haven't mentioned them yet. And I think that if any team is going to jump up, it has to be them. They're ready. They won the division. The defense is there.
Right.
If I'm a team and I'm hit, I know they probably have, they're probably weary because they've done it before and it flopped with RG3. Freak it.
But that was a ridiculous trade.
Well, that's what it's going to take. They said,
is it going to take a ridiculous trade to get?
They're at 19 to move to like 6. Yeah.
I don't know. But RG3 was the number 2 overall pick, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're still moving 13 spots. You're going to have to give up a couple firsts.
Yeah, but not like – how many – they give up like 5
3,
picks,
yeah.
Right?
They give
– not 5 firsts, first, but 5 picks total.
It was a lot. It was a boatload of picks.
I was thinking about that today. I remember they played against the Redskins, or at the time, the Redskins, not the football team.
Yeah.
the 5 guys that were used to for those picks, like all rolled out together, like – oh, what were the guys that you traded for RG3?
That's so sick.
It was swag. It was like Farrell Cooper and a couple other guys. I forget who they were, but
that's kind of badass.
Yeah, I like that. I like that for them because, like you said, they're knocking on the door. They won the division last year.
They've got a great head coach. Rivera's awesome.
Great bridge. The best quarterback.
And the rest of the teams in the division haven't done enough.
Right.
The Eagles are in no man's land.
Exactly. The Giants. Okay, marginally
let's
better.
See about the Cowboys.
Marginally better, but they don't have a quarterback. The Cowboys have a quarterback who's coming back from a major injury. If they can put things together on the defense, maybe it's a little bit different. It's more competitive than we think. But right now, the football team should be the favorite to win this division.
The defense is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And they keep adding. Like, people want to go play there now. Now, all of a sudden, like Cleveland, it's an attractive spot to play. It's crazy how, like, everyone's, like, a year and a half ago, everyone's like, the football team, who wants to play there? It sucks. It's in no man's land. And now, all of a sudden, you get a guy like Chase Young in there who really just – that defense was already where it was, but he takes it to that next level. And all you have to do – I mean, look, you have Curtis Samuel who wants to go play there. You have Scary Terry. Antonio Gibson's a good young running back. We like
Montez Sweat too. Like
yes. Like the defense is like goes like Payne and Allen. They spent a bevy of picks in the defensive line, which is where you win the game. And which is the Broncos are make me question. Like, look, I don't love Locke, and everyone y'all know that. But at the same time, like, you might as well just take Parsons if he's there.
But they're kind of in a similar position. They were really riddled with injuries last year. Similar to the Chargers, but almost even more so. So many of these guys went down. If you have a good – the rest of their roster is very solid. They're obviously in a really hard – opposite of the football team, they're in a really tough division, right? Because you have
–
you got to play the Chiefs twice. But across the board, defense, offensive weapons, it's really just the QB that's the question mark. And if they can swap him out for another guy and he kind of – whoever takes over in the middle of the season and this young gun is a stud – it's worth it. It's worth it because they're right there.
Yep.
Yeah. They had the major injuries last year.
Yeah.
But that defense, like, I mean, you didn't have Von Miller, right? I mean, that defense, Chubb was coming back from an injury and he was still good, but now he's fully back into the full swing of things. But you have a great left tackle. Bowles kind of transformed, and you have Font. You have Tim Patrick, who's good. Sutton's coming back. You have Melvin Gordon, who's the guy there now. I mean, yeah, the pieces are there. I mean, the football team is, yeah. No, you don't love Melvin anymore.
I mean,
he's whatever.
I think that he's a little washed up now.
Yeah. I think it works well with Phil, though, with Lindsey. It's a good one-two punch. Where is he now?
Lindsey's gone. Where did he? I forgot where he signed. We got Google, though. That's the best part about being a podcaster.
But they need someone. I think he can be, point being, Melvin can be effective if he has another guy to spell him.
Texans, that's where he went.
Eesh.
So, yeah, now the Texans are the new – that actually is the one
biggest team. Dumpster fire in the NFL right now.
I think it's one of the biggest dumpster fires I've ever seen. I know we say that time and time again, but that is a complete train wreck.
Terrible.
I feel
really bad for that fan base.
It's never been really good.
I mean, look.
It's never been good.
Here's the thing. Houston fans, I sympathize for you guys because the Rocket situation sucked.
Sucks.
The Astros situation, you guys won a World Series, but there's an asterisk there because everyone thinks you guys cheated. Well, you did cheat. But and now the whole Texans situation, it's really rough for you guys. So
yeah, the Rockets and the Texans, though, they were all competing. And the Astros were all competing.
All competitive, but at the exact same time.
Competitive with rosters that if they had won their respective championship, we would have been like, that makes sense. But they didn't. Two of the three teams didn't. The one team that did cheat.
It almost makes it worse.
I've never seen.
That's why I don't really have. I mean, also because I'm from Dallas, but I don't have much sympathy for that because the Rockets had their chance. They couldn't even.
It's tough.
They lose Chris Paul, yeah, but like James Harden was terrible in those series. They definitely should have made the finals one time, and they didn't.
You think that was a bigger blunder than the Clippers?
No, I don't think so.
The Clippers team was perfect, like not perfect, obviously, but like sick.
Yeah, I think the Clippers team.
Were the Clippers a one seed when they lost?
I don't even know. I mean, they were always like 1-3.
I don't think they ever got a one seed.
I don't think they got a one seed.
I think
the Rockets did.
In the Rockets' favor, the Warriors had all of the pieces at that point. And the Clippers were playing the Warriors with Steph and Clay, who almost like prematurely won a championship. Like when they won that first season with Steve Kerr, they were not the expected title.
No, they weren't. Like that was kind of like everyone. Bogut came on the show and freaking said it. Like, yeah, we didn't think that was gonna happen. We wanted to, and we thought it was possible. It was kind of like out of the blue, but they were.
Yeah, those Clippers teams were. I mean, you have Chris Paul, you have Blake Griffin, you have DeAndre Jordan basically becomes who he is. I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with Chris Paul. Like, if there is no Chris Paul, is DeAndre Jordan who he is today?
No, right. But that's the best version of him.
But that was a
You've got Jamal. You've got Jamal Crawford coming off the bench. JJ Redick. He's got best. Matt Barnes when he was good too.
Contributor for sure.
Yeah, they had a really good roster.
Yeah, They
blew it. Bledsoe was on that team too, backup point guard.
Yeah, that is true.
Eric Gordon for a hot second too.
Yeah, and they ended up having to move him. The NBA, man. Now it's like, I mean, the city of Houston, I can't imagine. It's like honestly the opposite of Boston. It really, I was looking at like, everyone's so on about the Patriots. Like the Sox have won four times since 2000.
Which is must be nice.
Yeah, it's pretty bonkers. I can't. I'm not going to take credit for the Bruins though, because I don't watch hockey. But it's the Houston since Carr came in, like they blew it. Since they had the first overall pick, since day one, they blew it.
Yeah,
it's been a dumpster fire ever since. But you can turn it around semi quickly, quicker than most in the NFL. You can't. It's very hard to turn around quickly in baseball, especially with, you know, no salary cap. In baseball, like, what are some of your biggest takeaways to start, Nick, in baseball from the season? I mean, I know FTJ's been out, but like the Padres, like. Honestly, I haven't really missed a beat.
They've missed a beat these last couple of games in Pittsburgh, I'll tell you that. It hasn't been pretty.
No.
I think, you know, the second game of the series, so they win the first game of the series, Udarvish is lights out. The second game of the series, Snell didn't make it out of the first inning,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of worrisome. I mean, maybe it was a premature pull by our manager. He only threw 38 pitches, allowed three runs, whatever. But the command was off the entire game for the entire team. But also, they left... I think 13 guys on base.
Jesus.
It was bad. And they walked 14 times. Mm-hmm. The team walked 14 times and only put up four runs. So that was a little worrisome. It just seems like when Tatis is out, they're a little bit crippled as a team. I feel like they just don't have all the juice there.
It's, it's pretty fresh.
He's the lifeline of, yeah, it's fresh. I mean, he's supposed to come back
right.
For the Dodgers series, the Friday game. So hopefully that, you know, puts a little jolt in their step. Will Myers also got injured in the game as well. He's taken a couple of days off. But I think they're a solid team. I think they're great. I think they can compete with the Dodgers. But it's really worrisome when, like, one guy goes out and the entire team kind of falls apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are we, like, is this fake news that the Giants are not that terrible either? Like, can they
they're
be
always competitive?
Can they be competitive? And maybe if the Padres don't get everything... I mean, all three of those teams in that division are really, really good, right? You're talking about some of the best teams in baseball record-wise, right?
I wouldn't say the Giants are really, really good, but I think that
they
always have the capability to ruin someone's party. I mean, they could do it. Not do it in terms of going to the playoffs, but they could definitely make some noise and upset some teams.
And you know what, though?
They beat us in a series.
They're always in a position like they sold high on Kevin Gausman. They bought low on Kevin Gausman, and he's been good for them. Cueto has, like, turned back the clock, and he's been, like, immaculate. He's been unbelievable his first couple starts. McGee, who was, like, a flamethrower, kind of fell off in Colorado, but now he's back, and he's slamming the door for them. Like, similar how y'all brought in Melanson, who's been great for you guys as well. McGee's been great for them. I mean, the lineup is old, but Yaz is, like, solid, and they could always, like, once you're winning a lot, you're in a position to buy, and you can just go and you could buy guys. I mean, they can, if they're like, okay, our bats aren't great, we need some oomph in the lineup, go get Joey Gallo. I mean, Joey Gallo is going to be a huge name. It's just going to be which team goes and gets him first. And the Cardinals need him. The Cardinals, like, look, the Cardinals don't have enough when it gets to like 6-8. There's a lot of teams that are pitching like poorly, like really, like the Athletics and the Rays, who are you, I mean, outside of Glasnow, was, God, that was like your big pick, Nick, and I, you know, commend you for that. They're pitching pretty poorly. And the Yankees, I'm not sold outside of Cole. I think they're going to have some issues there. Sox are hitting the tar off the ball. We'll see how far you look. We'll
the
see
Sox
how far
are 9-game win streak.
We'll see how far the bat. I'm always weary when it's like the bats are carrying you and players and pitchers are pitching above their pay grade. Like Eovaldi's been really good, and so is Erod. Like, a lot of the pitchers have been really good, and I think it's going to kind of go to the mean eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen some pitchers, like, the pitchers have been great out of the gate. Like, there's, like, the guy that we're recording on Wednesday night. Right now, as we're recording, Carlos Rodon is going on for the White Sox, is about to go to the eighth inning with a perfect game.
Wow. That's unreal. And shout out to the Padres for getting their first no-no. We haven't really talked about that since.
And Joe Musgrove, and his shout out to his family.
Shout out to his family from San Diego. That's really poetic, honestly. The Padres, for the fans out there that don't know, were the last team in all of Major League Baseball to not throw a no-hitter. Yeah. They were the sole team. We've been an organization since 1969, and Joe Musgrove comes over from Pittsburgh. Good he's a San start. Diego native, and he's the one who gets it done. The first ever no-no in Padres history. It was really poetic, and I was really happy about that night. It was great. But you posed a poll.
Wait, on that, though, before you get into that poll, Nick.
Yeah.
Props to the Rangers for being the team that allowed the Padres to throw that no-no.
Shout out to their family.
Put them up for the Texas.
We've owned the Rangers in the past couple series.
Who hasn't? Slam Diego. Who hasn't?
Oh, yeah. I saw that. That happened graphic, all against. Dude. Yeah, the Rangers have been absolutely bamboozled by the pods. Yeah.
Maybe we should. You guys want Joey Gallo? That
would
be cool.
I mean, I would love to play the Rangers every game. That's if we can make that happen.
Yeah. Talk to the
Rangers won today.
Manfred, what's up?
But you posed a poll.
I did.
And it was who are you more shocked by? For their start of the season, the Angels or the Red Sox. Red Sox are on a 9-game win streak, obviously, but the Angels are playing really good baseball, and a lot of that has to do with Ohtani and, of course, Trout.
Yes.
But their pitching is not terrible right now.
No.
CeCe Sabathia went out and said that Ohtani is the best baseball player he's ever seen.
That is an insanity statement. Look, yeah, he can throw really well, but let's see him do it as a pitcher and as, like, be the best hitter in baseball. Like, the best player you've ever seen? Was he not on a team with A-Rod? Like, say what you will about steroids, but Alex Rodriguez is like Ken Griffey Jr.? Like, he was there? Like,
side note, who doesn't know who A-Rod is? Oh, that's right. Anthony Edwards didn't know who A-Rod was.
Which is a bonk.
Is that a joke?
It's a joke.
I think he was trolling.
My friends from New York are freaking. That's what I said. My friends from New York
who doesn't know A-Rod?
I don't know, but if he doesn't know him.
Now he knows.
Who cares?
Who cares? That's true. Who really cares?
I don't do baseball.
But back on topic.
I don't think it's that crazy of him not to know. He's only 19.
It's pretty crazy.
If he didn't pay attention to baseball growing up.
Yeah, but like, it's A-Rod. He's dating Jennifer.
There are people who don't know who Pat Mahomes is right now. There's not very many, but there are people.
Yeah, but not professional athletes.
Yeah.
I will say this, in his defense, Tannehill, his rookie year, didn't know the divisions in the NFL on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, but you know what? That's different. That's like,
is it?
I think it's a little bit different.
It'd be one thing.
You have to know all the divisions.
It'd be one thing if he was an NBA player, because then you'd be like, hey, do you know the divisions? And no one would be like,
that's fine.
No one would be like, yes, I know them.
I don't even know what's the central NBA.
Exactly. But people. The divisions in NFL are really important.
It's huge.
Yeah, no, I know.
It's your job. It's like we're working at an Italian restaurant, Nick. It's like, hey, how do you make a pizza? And you're like, what else is in it other than bread?
Well, I'm a server. I don't know.
Oh, I know.
I was
like,
a server.
Yeah.
I didn't cook
and it's
pizzas.
Not like being R.I.P. like, hey,
I live up pies.
Hey, Ryan Tannehill, like you play at A&M. Who else is in the SEC? Because that's like, he should be able to name all those teams. But there's more teams. In a division, it's four teams.
I'm just saying A-Rod, like, growing up in our childhood, and Anthony Edwards
is
7 years younger than us, but at the same time, like, in our lifetime, A-Rod was one of the biggest names in all of sports.
Yeah.
I mean, not even just from a baseball standpoint, but
pop
also
culture
from,
standpoint.
From pop culture standpoint, and also from, like, a legal standpoint,
right.
too. With
right reasons and the wrong reasons, yeah.
Yeah, there's so many reasons to, like, know who A-Rod is.
It's a very
sure.
good point.
I mean, he's definitely heard the name A-Rod, right? Like, has he never been like, who the fuck's A-Rod?
He's not. He's like Aaron Rodgers, obviously. Yeah.
We may not even know who that is.
He's close.
Minnesota is exactly. right next to Wisconsin exactly. He might know
exactly
to your
but,
question,
no I think he was just messing with
but back on topic yeah, I think he was too but back on topic
You're
Ohtani right. is talented
yeah my
I don't think he's not. I don't think he's the best baseball player that anyone's ever seen
he could,
but he is unreal
but
he's
is
a good
he,
hitter
is he saying that is CeCe pulling that from his talent on the mound and also with the bat is that where why he's saying that
yes because he can do it all
right
which he can but like, let's not – okay, he's had one start this year, and yeah, he went four – he only gave up one run, but he didn't even make it to five innings. He walked five guys. He walked five – like, you can't do that as a pitcher. You're going to get
– I honestly am on board with not making him a pitcher. I'm
fully
on board with keeping him in the outfield and only the outfield, DH every now and then.
Dude,
and
he's
not,
one of the best hitters in the league.
He's ridiculous. He's fast. He's got power.
Power.
He's got an amazing speed. Put him in right field. Let him use his cannon that way.
He's got a long swing.
He does.
Long. Like Bellinger. Like kind of reminds you.
Like
of that.
I want him to be in the lineup every single day.
It has to be. You want to win. You want to out hit these teams. It has to be.
Exactly.
It has to be.
So I think they're fucking up his development a little bit.
I think that's a good take. Speaking of development being shattered and torn, we could kind of transfer over to the transfer portal with developments being kind of bamboozled.
So the transfer portal, Nick, for those of you who don't know, is basically college players have the option to leave their university, enter the transfer portal, and go to another university.
Yeah.
Right? And they don't lose eligibility in that sense at all right now, right?
Because of COVID.
Because of COVID, right. Normally they'd have to set out season,
Right. Everyone was granted an extra year of eligibility.
Seniors are coming back.
Right. Yeah. And so this is, I think, the biggest transfer portal year of all time in basketball, right? It's like 1,400 players or something.
Yeah, over 1,000.
Dickie V is very upset.
Old school.
He thinks it's ruining college basketball. He thinks that, you know, players should stick with the university that they committed to. And I partially agree with that, but I'm pumped when my school gets a dope transfer. But at the same time, how's that different from one and done, right? Where it's like, all right, I played one season with Kentucky. I'm gone. Going to the NBA.
Like, not different at all.
It's not different at all.
And that's a good point. Like, first of all, why they? They're not signing contracts. They're not getting paid.
Right.
It's not a deal. Like, they're if I'm a student,
they're
at a university
student
of
athlete.
Texas,
they're a student athlete. The student comes first. You can transfer to whatever school you want.
They were at one party and they heard the other party was dope. They want to go to that party. They want to check
go.
Out the town
that's
at that
it.
Party.
That's a good party comp. You know? Yeah, I think, look, and obviously Texas, you know, I think the Timmy Allen thing is great. They have Fedders coming back. They have AJ coming back. Sims might come back, which wouldn't be, like, crazy.
Texas is in a really good spot right now. Obviously, with the hire of Chris Beard from Texas Tech is awesome, but they get in two really big transfers, one from Kentucky, Askew, who is a point guard who's great. Didn't average a lot of points, but he's going to make people better around him.
Yeah.
And then Timmy Allen.
Big recruit.
Timmy Allen. Big recruit. And Timmy Allen from Utah, who I think, did he lead their team in points?
He was first team Pac-12. Yeah, he's 17-7. I mean, look, the guy is like, we know what we're getting out of him. The thing with Askew is, like, he was a top 50 recruit, top 40 recruit. The whole Kentucky team had major issues last year.
He got a lot of minutes, though.
Started almost every game.
Yeah.
Like, look, and sometimes, like we're saying with Greg Brown, like, where I was telling him about another Kentucky guy, I always say to, like, Toss, and like your roommate Nick and our friend Brandon, like BJ Boston should stay because sometimes guys need more, like one extra bit of seasoning, and it helps. Like Juzang, like he didn't have it right away in Kentucky. He transferred, got his feet wet, figured it out, and now is crushing it for UCLA.
And that's the cool thing about the transfer portal is that the idea is that it can potentially make college basketball better as a whole.
I agree with that.
Because you're taking a guy from a school like Kentucky where Juzang goes in there as a highly touted recruit. He doesn't perform because he's really young. He goes to UCLA where he can kind of become the guy instead of a guy amongst other guys, right? All of guys who are top 100 recruits. Calipari brings in the biggest recruits. And then he goes to UCLA and he can finally flourish.
I agree. And develop. Let me ask you this. If the transfer portal was not a thing, would Duncan Robinson make the NBA?
No.
No, because he started off at Williams College, right? I think it's Division II. Maybe it's Division III.
I think it's
Who D3. Knows? Who's heard of it? You know what?
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
It's an old school
thought. He transfers to Michigan, gets drafted, goes to the Heat, and now he's one of the best three-point shooters in the game.
Yeah.
Because he was put on that platform where Michigan can be on national television. They go to the tournament. He's got that platform.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of guys want to do that. There's a guy out there right now from UMass that wants to do that. Matt Mitchell. He wants to transfer to
a
bigger school.
Speaking of a guy from UMass who played for Houston this year was, what's his name?
Jarrell was great.
He was great. Got to compete for a NCAA championship.
Got to compete. A huge reason they were there was Jarrell.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Major component.
Like, not all of these guys that play, there's so many teams in college basketball. There's so many players. Not all of them have the opportunity like Greg Brown, where after year one, where they didn't have necessarily the year that they wanted to have,
right?
They can go to the NBA draft. Not everyone can do that. Majority of them can't. There's only like 62 guys picked in the NBA draft. Of course, other guys go to the G League.
Yeah, it's coming.
But why not give these guys the best opportunity to possibly max out their potential? I'm all for it. Now, does it completely changes the game from a coding perspective? From a coaching perspective, from a recruiting perspective, because a guy like Chris Beard did it at Texas Tech. He's going to do it at Texas too. He's already done it, right?
We already knew that was going to happen.
We knew it was going to happen, but he pulled in how many of their starters last year were from transfers?
DeSilva, McClung. I mean, like a lot of guys. And you know what? Now you're a coach.
Back at it too.
Now you're a coach, and now you have to worry about coaching the game. You have to worry about recruiting, and now you have to worry about keeping your recruits.
Right.
It's a whole other ball game. Like a guy, like if guys start falling off the wagon at Duke and Kentucky, there's coaches like Penny Hardaway, Memphis. Hey, come play with us. Come down the road.
Easy. Yeah. Easy.
It is an interesting, I understand USC. Kind of like the devil's advocate side of it, which would be some of these guys, if they stayed and they put in the work for a really, really respectable coach and they didn't give up on this one opportunity so quickly, that they could then become the guy year three, year four.
No, I understand that. But at the same time, look, if coaches can leave in the middle of these players' careers, then they should be able to leave too because that's a big part of their development, right?
Right.
That's a great point.
It's, I mean, it's their life, like their lifeline. Like in order to make it to the NBA, they want to have the development from those NCAA coaches. It's, and if they're, if a guy like Chris Beard is leaving for Texas, Mac McClung's like, well, shit, who are they going to hire? I want to go play for a coach that's going to develop me and make me an NBA player.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's either going to the league or he's coming to the Hornets.
Yeah.
I'm convinced.
Right. I mean, it is pretty blasphemous that this, if he does go to another college, it's his third team.
It's a little insane.
Georgetown, then Texas Tech, then whoever he decides to play for. It's insane.
Well, yeah, I don't think he needs to, right? If he stays in college basketball, like he can be, he can go to the NBA.
Yeah.
He's not going to, he'll be a,
he may not be drafted. Yeah, maybe.
He'll be a second round, late second rounder, or an undrafted guy who
McClung entered his name in the draft. He's going to see what happens.
Right.
Test the waters.
If we don't like what the outcome is, then he's probably going to transfer. And good chance it's Texas. Same thing with Greg Brown, I think. I think that if he doesn't like what he's hearing from draft advisors or whatever, or whatever happens, he's going to come back because I think he has a lot more to gain from staying with Chris Beard, a guy who can add so much to his game, right? Yeah. He was the number nine recruit coming out of high school to go to Texas, right? Yeah. So I think that a lot of those guys expect, okay, I'm a top 10 recruit. That means I'm a top 10 pick in the NBA, right? If I play to my potential. He didn't play to his potential in college. He still has to add more to his game. He could be a top five pick next year if he decides to add some good tools to his game with Chris Beard.
And our roster is already, in my opinion, it's already better than it was last year.
Oh, yeah. It's disgusting.
I think.
And you go to college basketball, you do want to win a national championship, too.
Of course.
So to be able to compete with a coach like Chris Beard, who was just there, went further than the Texas Longhorns, right? Like, you get that opportunity, too. And the good thing about the tournament, look, everyone, most people will talk about college basketball, and the only one that really knows what they're talking about is Jay Billis, because he watches like every fucking game.
Yeah.
Everyone else doesn't watch.
Jay Billis loves Chris Beard.
Loves Chris Beard.
But who doesn't? He's successful.
My point is that so many people only take off the blinders for March Madness, and it's incredibly important for these players in what they're, how they're looked at by NBA scouts to perform in the tournament.
That's a great point.
A guy like Johnny Juzang, the reason why everyone's talking about him is because UCLA went to the Final Four.
Davion Mitchell. Is it going to be a top 10 pick?
He's going to be a,
it's going to be a top 10 pick.
That guy wouldn't have been a first rounder.
I mean, the whole Gonzaga team,
no,
too.
No March Madness. I mean, Kispert,
Let's think about this, right? Let's say that
Suggs might
be let's say that COVID happened right before March Madness this year.
Yeah.
Right? That Gonzaga team didn't get a chance to go to the tournament.
Yeah.
Would those guys compromise getting picked high in the draft? Because, look, Gonzaga played great basketball all season, the regular season. They were undefeated. But who watched them? I didn't watch a single Gonzaga game. They weren't on national TV. They were playing against shit teams all year. I could have gone and saw them at Loyola, LMU, in Westchester. Yeah.
Well,
street.
I guarantee you that.
But is Suggs going to be a top three pick then?
Yeah, he's still.
Okay, well, Kispert is.
But
is
the other guys.
Timmy,
but the other
Timmy,
guys, no.
Like, no
Timmy's
yeah,
going to stay, but I would not have been a first round pick, which he can be now.
Yeah.
Mitchell wouldn't have been a first round pick. I think the thing with Greg Brown now, because these guys perform well in the tournament, and because like they're like, okay, like.
Guy like Kai Jones was not going to be.
Am I going to take Davion Mitchell, who I know at the bare minimum is going to give me a guy that can produce right away? Or am I going to waste a first-round pick on a project like Greg Brown, who may or may not pan out? Give me the guy who can play right away.
Right.
Like, yes, Spider Mitchell was undersized, but he can't. He was everything you thought he was going to be
now
more.
NBA,
and now
and
more.
MVP candidate now.
And a guy like
happen, but.
Right, right. They've got they wear the same number. They've got the same name.
Everyone thought they were brothers.
I don't think I don't think he's going to be as good as Spider Mitchell's. Fantastic. He's a top 25 player in the NBA. But Davion Mitchell, at the minimum, can be Jalen Brunson.
Oh yeah, dude. I was literally thinking that in my head.
Like a guy that, that's 24 years old, and Jalen Brunson feels like he's 32 and has been playing in the league for 10 years. Right, yeah. Like. A guy that you know when your backup lineup goes in there, that you can get 24 minutes from a guard who's going to contribute. And that's what I think Davion Mitchell will be. But, yeah, I think it's exciting. It's really exciting for us, obviously, because we're all Texas basketball fans. And our team.
All of us. Everyone that listens to this show, too.
Majority of them. Majority of them probably are.
Yeah, realistically.
But our team's stacked now.
Stoked.
Which is really, really, really cool. We've got a great coach.
Finally.
So it's going to be.
No. Shaka, you did some great things for the program, but dude, you did not get a single tournament win. And
sorry, Kick Rocks. I'm sure you're a good guy, but get out of town.
First team KR team.
Yeah, 100%.
And on the Kid on rocks. The Longhorn front,
yeah,
the football team, things are going well, guys.
The Undertaker was there.
Was he?
The Undertaker makes an appearance every single... Dude, the we first game that I was show. On the sideline...
But we need to figure it out.
First game I was on Did the sideline. Like
is he from Austin?
He lives in Austin. First game I was on the sideline as a UT walk-on. I looked back and I'm like, holy shit, is that the Undertaker? And this guy's like, yeah, man, he comes every game.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Can't miss him. He's 6'10"? He's 6'10", huge.
Yeah.
He's a tank.
And he tombstones Coach Sark in front of the team. Kidding. I'm joking.
But apparently the team likes Sark a lot more than Herman.
Okay, so I got some tea to spill.
Okay.
So I had a phone call the other day with a former Texas football player that was there.
Will you tell us off the air?
Well, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you off the air. Off the record.
Off the record.
What a bummer for
our listeners. His name will not be divulged on the airwaves. You can text my phone if you want to know who it is. But basically, he was saying that everyone hated Tom Herman. He said all the players hated Tom Herman. He said that Brew McCoy, the one who transferred to USC,
yeah,
would come to his room every single night and cry about how much he hated Tom Herman and how much he hated being at Texas. Wow. He said he made the wrong choice because Tom Herman's not the guy he thought he was.
Yeah.
He's not the guy anyone thought he was. He was immature. He was really immature. He was
pretty abrasive.
He headbutted a player. It was done after that.
People love Sarkisian, though.
He's a winner.
I think that people really like him. He's got control of the locker room. It's hard to go from a guy like Mack Brown to a guy like Charlie Strong to a guy like Tom Herman. Those are three wildly different personalities.
Yeah.
Mack Brown acts as like the emperor, right? When I was there, people were like, yeah, you missed the Mack Brown era. He was just kind of like the emperor, right? He wasn't very hands-on as a coach. He just showed up to practices and kind of like gave speeches, and that's about it, right? He was kind of he was past the days of being like the coach, right? He was just kind of coasting then. Charlie Strong comes in, tries to change the whole culture, tries to be a player's coach, tries to be best friends with everyone, right? Tries to get rid of the bad eggs. You know, any guy that fucks up on the team, get rid of him, right? We don't have any tolerance for that, you know? Right. Earn your decal. There was no decals on our helmets for like the first 3 weeks of training camp, whatever, right? Because you need to earn it.
I love that, by the way.
Sick. Yeah, it was awesome. We also didn't like get any swag though, which sucks. Like I got maybe one hoodie. you gotta earn the swag.
That sucks.
Then you get a guy like Tom Herman who's like, all right, you know what? Like, we're ballers, we're Texas, you know, we're gonna be the badasses on campus. But you know what? I'm not gonna create great relationships with my players. Go out and play football. You're good enough. You know, like, that's just not the culture. Like, it's just so wildly different. Guy like Sarkisian comes in. And he already establishes a winning culture, right? He's got a title ring. He comes from Alabama. He comes from the Nick Saban coaching.
He doesn't have to say anything.
He doesn't have to say shit.
Because you know who it is already.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. What I'll be looking at most is how he handled the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
Because we've got a couple of talented guys, but I don't think...
It's a good problem to have.
I don't think one guy has taken the lead
yet. I don't either.
I think both could be good, though.
I think the really good thing is that we won't have to rely on our quarterback, which we've had to do for like the previous 3 years, because Bijan Robinson is an absolute beast.
That's... You want to talk about BetOnline.ag? I bet him on him to win the Heisman.
The Heisman, huh?
I did.
I would for sure say Doak Walker, but the Heisman, it's tough, though.
I don't think that's a bad... He's a beast.
It's not a bad
He's unbelievable.
Bet.
$20 at plus like 2,500.
Oh, it's a great bet. It's an awesome bet. But as of lately, quarterbacks that's just the game. I mean, obviously Devontae Smith was sick, but like running backs don't get that often anymore.
I bet $30 on Xander Schauffele completely. I bet on Xander Schauffele and the next hole was the 16th hole. Oof. At that was $30. You know what? I might as well throw 20 on my boy.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I think that's a wrap on So 325. That was great stuff.
That was a big homer Texas episode.
Yeah, but you know what? God forbid we have a good time and enjoy some Texas sports. Right, boys?
It feels like we're on the precipice of something. Something real.
Us not, or not the
something
Texas?
Texas. Not something.
I feel
not,
like we say this all the time.
No, but not. I don't. I'm pretty.
No, I agree with you.
I'm pretty conservative with my words.
I hold on
Texas hype.
I'm not.
Yeah, you're always on the train.
I'm on it.
Which I love, but basketball, it's like you can look at a college basketball team and know you're going to be good. We're going to be good.
Right. Yeah.
College football, it's good to hear that the players
are responding well.
Because we know the roster is talented.
And there's a healthy quarterback competition like we just mentioned too. That's great, you know?
QBU's on the horizon. That's the hope.
Hey, yeah.
That'd be sick.
Malik Murphy, man, 2023.
Arch Manning, maybe.
Yeah. Get excited for our next episode. A lot of good hoops talk. We have Coach Daniel, who had an unbelievable YouTube page for a number of years and now is working with the Dallas Mavs as a video coordinator.
And if you missed our last episode.
Yeah. We had the, you know what, people, I will say this, people, older listeners, like, you know, obviously we have younger listeners and younger audience based on Instagram. But some of the older listeners who are friends, family friends, and all that stuff, I've had, like, not just, like, the typicals. I've had, like, five or six of them reach out to me and be like, that's not what I thought a porn star was going to be like.
Yeah. So Lisa Ann was the last guest. Yeah. One of the most recognizable names in the porn industry. And faces. Man, she was great. Yeah. She knew her stuff. Very impressed with her research, like we all mentioned before. Her podcast is great. And I agree with you. I mean, a lot of people probably have the wrong idea about people in the adult film industry, right?
That's what we're here to do. We're here to surprise you.
Exactly.
We're here to help you learn things. Speaking of things that I'm going to learn,
yeah,
it's how to chill out, because I do not relax well. You know, my crazy life, it's just hard for me to shut off my brain and chill. I overthink. I get easily stressed out, and it effing sucks. So I did my homework and found Sunday Scaries, which are delicious and vitamin-boosted CBD gummies. They've become a must-have in my daily routine, and they chill me out in about 20 minutes. Basically, they help me to take the edge off so I can maintain my composure and live scare-free. And there's no risk to buy. The company offers 100% lifetime money-back guarantee. If the product's not for you, that's okay. You'll get your money back. Sunday Scary is in the stress-relieving business, not the stress-causing business. I got you 25% off to prove it. Visit sundayscaries.com and use my promo code STRIPE for your discount. That's promo code STRIPE for 25% off at sundayscaries.com. They're effing amazing, and you won't regret joining the squad. And Nick is actually eating some Sunday Scaries right at this.
Help yourself.
The sour ones.
Right at this moment.
First time trying out.
They're good. I have a couple every day, and it chills me out. I was telling you, Nick, it's really changed my life for the better.
Hey, what happened to that perfect game?
Oh, yeah, sorry. That's what you were doing, a great Avery toss.
Thanks.
Perfect game blown. Top of the ninth. He hit him. 0-2 count.
Oh, no hitter's still intact, though.
No hitter's still intact, and now he's lost it. He hit him on the back right
now
foot.
Now he's flustered.
That's
he's
not flustered. A no-hitter. He hit him.
Oh, real quickly. And real quickly.
Yeah, that.
Real quick.
Here you go, Nick.
What the fuck is up with the MLB replays?
Oh, yeah. But you know what? Let's save that for another. I mean, we missed the boat on that.
All right, we'll tease that.
We'll tease that.
I thought you were talking about
what the fans do about
let's
that.
What the fuck is good, you guys? Sam Lerner. Speaking of Sam Lerner, shout out to his family. Fans out there, Jaguar fan bouncing swinging a full count. Rip that puck, hit that putt. Hit your PKs because they free and hit your free throws. Why, guys?
Because they are free.
Because they free. We out ya. We love ya.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball in the right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. History puddle. Bang! Tie game!
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.